There's a mess for home check and be done. How's everybody? One 26. Five plus six, 30. Nine 30 is supposed to be. Morning, we have a friend. Oh, I was enjoying that nice sunshine. Spoil sport. Can't win them all. What's going on there? Ah, sound of life. Yes, I am, everybody. Doing all the work to myself.
Good morning, good voch, good chodesh. Oh, everyone's up early this morning. Not everyone. I see we're a bit thin on the shear today because I guess the time is not exactly my team for everybody. Well, I don't have too many choices. So that's what we're going to have to do. Bezat Hashem, it looks like we'll be back in the Bes Midrash for those that are interested. Obviously, we'll still carry on Zoom. It looks like we'll be back in the Bes Midrash sometime this week. And then I notice we'll be out when it's relevant. I'm just waiting to let the dust settle. Fine. So we're in Perek Beis on Daf Mem Vav. We're in the chapter dealing with Miani. We said that it's when a person understands clearly Miani, and there's a clear understanding, inner understanding of who he is, real, proper, not what you've been taught to think, which is what we're going to discover now. That's when a person can utilize and his life properly, and that's when he's able to do what he came in the world to do, when he understands who he really is properly, and he appreciates the value of his life and understands what life is. So that's what we're going to try and hopefully achieve some of that today. We saw that Avraham Avinu was the first one that discovered these secrets, the enormous importance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu places in us, how important we are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we'll get some sense of that now. We've done this before. This is not news. We've spoken about this a lot. I've wanted Skadar to go through the sources again. So he brings the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. The Halacha ein doichi nefesh mipnei nefesh. Rabba state ein doichi nefesh mipnei nefesh. You don't choose a life. You don't choose one life over another life. You don't push off one life to save another life. In order to make this a little bit real, you have to make this real. So now you really appreciate how valuable you are. No, we have to make it real. So if we use our imagination a few minutes and try and understand the following situation, which could happen. The leader of the generation, the Chofetz Chaim, B'shaisoi, Bonagid, Mashu, just to make it a bit more real, the Ben Ish Chai in Baghdad, B'shaisoi, is ill, and his life's in danger. V'yadut acharedit bo'ilam kulu shofeches his libe betfilus v'shloime. Everyone's davening and tehillim and all sorts of kabbalas in the schus of the Rufu of the God Lador. Nedive amim, the Asconim and the Gvirim are spending untold amounts of money to find the best doctors, the best refuers, the best treatments. Or maybe there's some hope we can save his life. Very famous, well-known doctor comes on the scene and he says, look, I can save the Golo's life, local kach kasher. I need to do a transplant. I need one of whichever, I don't know, it doesn't make any difference. I need a limb. We need to replace his limb, whatever, some organ that needs to be replaced. And then that'll save his life for sure. Because Dorof, Kola Asconim, Netrame Bavaretz Vesir, Lemimush Matarazet. So now all the Asconim are back on the road trying to find this donor for this organ that needs to be transplanted. All over the world, the messages are going out, the computers there, everyone's flying, working, trying to find a donor for this organ, yeah? Of the unbelievable amounts of effort and work to try and find this organ that's needed. They find that there's one person, a very old person, and they do all the tests, and they find that he's a match, he's a good match, and therefore if he would give his organ, then they could save the Rav's life. Who says the Godlador, the Tzadikador, the Poisekador? We're talking about somebody who's very choshev to call Klal Yisrael, the Ganze Welt. They can't find anybody else. They've checked everyone else. No one's a match. They just can't find a match. This guy's a perfect match. So happens that this organ happens to be in a person who's very old, senile, completely dependent on machines to keep him alive. He's lying in the hospital in a coma. He's not keeping any mitzvahs, that's for sure. He's in a coma. He doesn't know what's going on around him. He's oblivious. He's also an enormous burden on his family and the whole Medina, because he's using up a lot of expensive medical facilities here. You the Poisek, you were given the Charlotte to Paskin. So the first question you're going to ask is, depends. If I can take the organ without affecting his life, without in any way endangering or shortening his life, then yeah, maybe it could be. Maybe we see kidney transplants. You can take a kidney from a live person and donate it to somebody else. That's Mutala Gamre. So I'm assuming here that the question is, if you're going to have even a sophic of shortening his life, even fractionally, obviously we're talking about that question. We're not talking about a question where it's not going to affect his life. We're talking about a question, yeah. So he says like this, even if you'll shorten his life even by a minute, by taking out this organ that's necessary. Also, Pidin Tayroi Seinu Hakadosh Little Menesaev, Yitzelet Godlado. Also, in a Torah, there's no machlokes. It's a poshut din. Ein doichi nefesh mipnei nefesh. And even 1 minute of murder is murder. You're not allowed to do that. That's a pella otzuma. I don't know if I would have paskin like that. I mean, you weigh it up according to our shikulim. This guy's not doing anything. He's not doing mitzvah. He's not getting any scha. He's not getting any schiot. Could be the schiot of giving the limb could be even more worth than all the other. I mean, well, what's going on here? Lama lo? How do you understand this? The Godlador, who's mamash keeping the world going, he's mamash, the whole world's swiveling around him. All the schiyot he has, how much he's magen on the door, and his mitzvahs and his Torah and everything. And he's lying, someone who's in a coma, vegetable state. And you tell me, ein doich nefesh mit nefesh. How do you understand it? The law move on. So first of all, the exercise before we even start anything is the exercise, a wonderful exercise to realize that we don't always understand everything in the Torah. We're not always in sync with what the Torah wants from us. You're going to find that on and on. As you go through life, you're going to discover new things in the Torah, which are going to make you go, wow, that can't be. I don't understand that. Of course, that's the way it's supposed to be. If you could understand everything that the Torah has to say, then you would be as big as Hashem. The Torah is very big. Torah is not a small thing that you can sort of chop and understand everything in a few months or a few years. Torah is massive. So how do you understand this? It's not so posh at all. If you use our value system that we used and that we grew up with, and I'm talking about in the Torah world even, it's very hard to understand such a halacha. You got somebody who's functioning, he's doing mitzvahs, he's Isaac in Torah, and he's got Talmidim, and he's mamash, he's a very active person in Ruchnias, not talking about in Gashmis, in Ruchnias, in Torah. The whole world stands on his shoulders. Yeah, I'm going to give up a Vilna Goyim. Yeah, if that's what it takes, then this Amma Aretz, who's lying in the hospital, he happens to be Jewish, but he's in a coma. Yeah, we don't know what Hashem wants here, but he certainly says you can't shorten this guy's life to save the Vilna Goyim. Sorry. So we disconnected. We're not in touch with this. We have to acknowledge that. That's the first thing we have to acknowledge. We don't understand. Have to try and understand this from another perspective. Let's build the kashia. Yudi ben Mayashana, Shekva Abu Bottle Mina Oilam, the Ain Law of Umalich Yoit, Utsemach Lelo Akora, Mechubala Machshivim. You have somebody, an old Yid, who's 100 years old. He's completely not in function in the world anymore. He really doesn't have anything to live for anymore. He's a vegetable without any consciousness. He's in a coma. He's connected to life support machines. And b'matzav zeh, it's umas ha'olam, u'mamisin noisei b'misas chesed. Today we have something that used to be called murder. Today it's called mercy killing, euthanasia. They came up with a fancy word, euthanasia. Isn't that a nice word for murder? The mamish gavaldik. They couched what then that you see. In the secular world, the laws change. What used to be mamish murder, you would get put to death for doing such a thing. Doctor would kill a patient 100 years ago, he got put to death. Today he's a big bal chesed. Today he's a tzaddik if he kills a patient. Yeah, that's another discussion. But by the goyim today, even as Rachman and Litzlan, we call that mercy killing. Yeah, but according to the Torah, which is Hashem's rotzen in the world, somebody who shortens that 100 year old vegetable's life by even 1 minute. He's a murderer. And if he would have Hasro and then there would be Aidim, whatever, we would kill him. He's Ma'abed Nefesh Achas Misrael. He's just wiped out a Yid. Rachman al Itzlan. Someone who's doeg for him and makes sure that he lives, he sits and makes sure the doctors don't pull out the plug and he watches him and makes sure that the bills are paid and everything. He's makaiming a whole world. But this is an oilam that's not doing anything. Yeah, but the deed doesn't change. So there's something about a person's life who, even though he's not doing anything, there's something there we don't understand. Even more, what would be, it's imagination, but what would be if every Yid had to machal Shabbos in order to keep this guy alive? The only way you could keep this guy alive, even for another 5 minutes, 1 minute even, is every Yid that's alive today would have to be machal Shabbos, the Raisas. So what's the halacha? Not even a question. Return is Baruch Hu Shekul Michal Shabbos Vitzuloito, Vahim Amnam Machayvim Loises Kane. You have a chiv to machal Shabbos, not even a question. What are you talking about? Every year that's alive today, every year that ever lived from Avraham Avinu to Mashiach would have to machal Shabbos in order to keep this vegetable alive for 1 second. Doesn't make any sense. Completely off the charts. What are you talking about? You know how much value there is in Shabbos? You know how much unbelievable kedusha and mitzvahs and schai and olam haba there is in Shabbos? And this guy's doing nothing. Olose klum, klum, klum. How do you weigh that up? On my scale, it's a double poshut. He's not doing anything. A million Jews are keeping Shabbos. A million Shabbos, you know what that's worth? Hashem says, no, you got it all wrong. You don't understand nothing. Atalo mivin klum. You don't understand anything. Nothing. Okay, let's give another example just to make this worse. Lo yitzu shehitle machshmoy v'zichro ayimetzir shim yitnu lo lahamis yudu echad. What would be if Hitler Machshmoy would come to you and he'd give you the following suggestion? Give him one yid. He doesn't tell you which one. He says, send any yid across. And then I'll stop all the trains going to the camps. V'shechru es kol ha'yedim l'chofshi. And I'll let all the Jews free. Then we'll stop the Holocaust. The final solution will stop. Just give me one Jew, you choose. Give me one yid so that I can kill him and I'll stop all the 6 million. Rotzon Hashem is Baruch Sheloim Sorelo Nefesh Achiv Yisrael. You can't. I'm sorry. Ein Toichin Nefesh Mipne Nefesh, and that's Nefoshos. It's not one against two, two against three. You're not allowed to give. If you ask for a specific year, there the halacha may be different. The Gemara discusses that. But if he just says, "Give me one year, and then I'll save the town. I won't burn the town down. I won't kill 6 million Jews." You're not allowed to do that. The Marot Shebeikvus Siruv Zeh Lulim Motach Monatzal Millionim. But denying Hitler his request, Yemach Shmoy, millions could die. Besides all the agnus nefesh, the suffering, the bittul Torah, the bittul tefillah, the bittul zman, the bittul mitzvahs, you know, nachinami. That's the rotzon Hashem. You understand that? You don't understand that. Can't understand that. And that's good. The work here is not to say, well, this is crazy, this is meshuggah, I can't understand that, doesn't make any sense. No, the work here is to say, nachinami, I really don't understand the value of a life. I don't know what a life that's not doing any mitzvahs is worth, because I see the Torah is telling me what it's worth. Torah is telling me a little bit about how much Hashem values a yid's life. I don't understand that. I don't have a clue. The question, you have to have the courage to allow this question to sit. You have to face this question. It's hard. So it's not an easy question to swallow. But the question contains within it, as most decent questions do, some sense or beginning of understanding the answer. Ein doichi nefesh mipe nefesh, the way we've described it here, tells us that's a big kasha, but it tells us we don't understand something, and we have to have the courage to allow the question to sit. Let the question sit. It's not a poshut question, but the answer is lurking in there. That wow, look at the enormity of the value of a Jewish life. A Jewish life that's not doing any mitzvahs is worth more to Hashem than all the Shabbosim. What are you talking about? Okay. So I know now that a Jewish life that's not doing anything is more valuable than the Shabbosim in the world. I didn't know that before. I don't understand it, but at least I know something I didn't know before. Now there's ramifications and consequences. I have to take a long time to absorb all of that because it's big, shocking news. I don't know how to absorb that. But you have to be able to absorb that at some point and understand how choshuv a Yiddish life is. Yisayrim mizu, more than this, gets worse. Lo yitzu matzav shebo goyim yivakshu mitanu letet lem yudi echad mibenei lo ariga. The goyim would come and say, give us one yid to kill. Also lanu letet afilu yudi shu tzemach. Ramot shiv nisarav heim yorogu rachmona tzlam at kol am Yisrael miyabram vinu adla yudi acharon. You can't give them even a vegetable, this 150-year-old vegetable that's mechubar to machines, that's in a coma, that's completely dysfunctional, non-functional. Everyone just is non-functional. You can't give them to the goyim, even if the goyim will wipe out chas v'chilil every yid from Avraham Avinu to Mashiach. They'll wipe out all the yid. You're not allowed to give them that vegetable even. That's unbelievable. It's not just a couple million lives against one life. It's all the Torah and the mitzvahs and the chesed and the ruchnius and the unbelievable binyan of Klal Yisrael. Hashem says, yeah, the Lo Shaveli, if one vegetable is going to die a minute earlier than he was supposed to. I mean, the law need tfas. I can't chap it. It's too big. But that's halacha. Ratzon Hashem Yisbarach Shu Yimusu Kulam. Everyone can go. If you want to go see it inside, let's take the Rambam. That's halacha mufureshet. That's a rosh kofa. That's halacha. That halacha tells you something about the value of what a Yiddish life is. Now remember, I'm also a Yiddish life. You're also a Jewish life. So how much are you worth? What's your life worth, even when you're not doing anything? I'm not talking about your mitzvahs. I'm not talking about your Torah. I'm not talking about your frumkat and all your unbelievable things that you could do. We're talking about somebody who's not doing anything. Neto, gornish, nothing, nothing, nothing. Yep, so that's worth more than. How do you understand that? And he says it. Halev goyash v'sor. The mind is turmoiled and unbalanced. Keitzel adavi tochen. How is this possible? Chamlam zuaymes. That's the truth. Mi'avram Avinu v'ade Yudia Charon Oile Mole is bottled. The entire purpose of the Bria is bottled. Kviyochel lo ye klal Yisrael. V'vad shelo yitle rega michayv shel Yudi. Just done short of this old Jew's life by 1 minute. Tov, azu sugya mucha v'noira she'ein lanu bo tfisa. We understand that. Let's get that clear first of all. This is obviously beyond us. It's an awesome subject that's beyond our understanding. HaKadosh Baruch Hu muchen kviyochel levatel et kol tachnis habria lo yeh klal Yisrael lo yeh me'umah u'bivad sheyudi echad yichyeh od daka achas. Hashem's prepared that there won't be a klal Yisrael, there won't be the whole purpose of the bria. Nothing. Everything's mevatel, tol v'bol. Just don't shorten the yid's life by one moment. Why? What's the? I mean, it doesn't make sense. If this makes sense to you, then you really doesn't make sense to you. If you think this makes sense, then you've missed the plot completely, or you Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, or somebody like that who understands, I don't know, I mean, there's a lawyer talking.
I agree. Can I just ask quickly, Rav, while we're on the topic, are we specifically talking about involuntary giving your life? Like, could you voluntarily do this? Is this only specifically against your will?
That's an interesting question. It's an interesting question. Are you allowed to commit suicide in order to save another Jew? So, I'm not going into the whole discussion. Our pashtus know that's awesome. But we see there were times, there were cases where people did do what you're talking about. There were times in Jewish history where people did. Exactly how Kodesh Baruch Hu deals with that, I don't know. But l'chatchila, it's not so poshut that you can do such a thing now. Ma'abed al-atzma, it's the worst crime that you can do is to kill yourself. It's worse than killing somebody else even.
But shortening your life of possibly 5 minutes to do a transport for someone is also.
So that's a question. In kidney transplants, for example, was that mutter? Okay, those are big discussions. Rabbi Tetz is all safe on this subject. I don't want to go into it now. It's too big. It's too complicated. But the kasha is a kasha. The question is a question. And then it needs to be looked into. But it's not a simple sugya.
Fine. But for the context of our discussion, we're talking about even voluntarily.
Talking about a guy who's in a coma. He can't...
Okay, so it's against his will.
Yeah, we don't know if it's against him. He might agree. We don't know. He's a fan.
Okay, fine. Nah, got it.
It's a very ducky. What you're asking is more duck because there were cases we see where people did in order to save the whole town. There were people that were volunteered, whatever. We have to understand how that works. Greja shmad, when there's shasa shmad, loba shasa shmad, there's all different alochas, a complicated alochas. Gemara's in Sanhedrin and the Rambam, and the big sugyas. Okay. There's even questions, I'm saying, you can even take a question further. Are you allowed to enter into medical procedures which are dangerous, but may save your life? There's also big kashas. But that's his whole book on this, emergency. Medical, dangerous medicine, whatever, I don't know what it's called, but he has a whole halacha sefer, not a shkofa sefer, not one of his usual Rav Desslers. Poshut halacha sefer on all these questions about endangering your life for medical stuff and whatever. So so it comes up. It's not just in these kind of cases where the goyim are asking you, I don't think I put on the, oh no, I did put on the recording. Even for to do a medical procedure which is dangerous, but it can save a life, it can lengthen a life, but it may kill the life. These are complex, very, very complex decisions. So Moshe Feinstein once had a shala, very interesting. It's not in the Igros Moshe, it's brought out in a separate sefer. His son Analozuche printed a separate sefer of tshuvas, later tshuvas that didn't get into the Igros Moshe. It might be in the Igros Moshe now. They might have done new, not a big bokhi in Igros Moshe, it might be there now, but the question was, there were Siamese twins, and they had to separate them. They were joined by the heart, I think, if I remember correctly. And the way that they would separate them is you would for sure save one, but the other one would die. That was the question. Yeah, sounds a familiar question. Yeah, that's what we're dealing with here. So what was very interesting about this is that the hospital was an American hospital. So they had to go to the High Court of America to get a psak whether they could do this operation or not. The doctor went to the High Court, and the hospital was a Christian hospital. So they went to the Vatican to ask for permission from the head honcho there. And the couple, the parents, were forbidden. So the shayla came to Rav Moshe. So both the Vatican and the High Court within a few hours said that it's mutter to go ahead. Rav Moshe fasted for 11 days. Okay. Rav Moshe fasted for 11 days before he allowed the surgery. And then you can read the tshuva there. He goes into all the cheshbonas, complex, wild, wow, unbelievably difficult cheshbonas of how he eventually was matzah the surgery. And I think they did the surgery and they saved the one child. It was a long time ago since I heard this. But I heard the story from Eftet and I saw it later brought down. It's a little safer printed separately. I think by Rav Tendler, I can't remember. But that's an amazing thing. You see, Rav Moshe fast for 11 days. The Supreme Court of America has no problem to say, for sure, go ahead and do it. What's the problem? You can save a life. So what? You'll kill another life, for sure. And the Christians also don't have a problem with that. Moshe fasted for 11 days, okay? 11 days he fasted. I don't suppose he fasted straight, he got me, you know, day fast. But he fasted for 11 days before he was matured. Can you imagine the sense of a chlais, the responsibility of a little Siamese twin baby whose life, if they didn't do the op, was also the sakana. It wasn't like they'll carry on living happily ever after if you don't do the surgery. No, it wasn't going to be. Anyway, so that's some of the weightiness of what a Jewish life is. Okay. Fine. Fine. So, okay. So we can't understand this really. We don't really understand this. We can't. We understand that we can't understand. And it's obviously this cuts to the core of, you know, what is human life? What is the value of life? What is life? These are obviously beyond our comprehension, these halachas. But he says here, Dvarim Eilu, Machidirim Lamachshavoseinu Klal Godol V'choshev. What this does do, these halachas, these illustrations, what they do is they drive deep into our consciousness. Ala Adam Laachdi Leliboy, a person has to understand. Then the following, this you have to get clear. These next four lines you have to learn off by heart. Ani, me, im chesa atzlocha shli beruchnias ubegashmias. With all my failings in ruchnias and gashmias, hirini shove v'choshuv ba'ena kodesh bochum ko'ila mole. In Hashem's eyes, I am considered a oile mole. Kol rege b'chayv hu ko choshuv. Every moment of my life is so choshuv. In order to keep me alive another minute, Hashem's prepared to wipe out the whole world. In the bracha we make every morning, Elokai Neshama, it says there, V'ato, you Hashem, Meshomra Bekirbi. You're the one that's keeping my Neshama in my goof, and that's why I'm alive. Only because you Hashem. You personally, Bekvedo Atzmai, is making sure that I'm alive now. Who bekvoide ba'atzmei shoymal nishmosi b'soichi gufei u'muchach mekach shini nechoshu ba'ein nov ma'od. If Hashem's taking care that Meshomer stays in the goof, because he needs to do that, ata Meshomer b'kirbi. If he wasn't doing that, then you'd be finished. So Hashem is taking time out from his busy schedule to make sure that my Meshomer stays in my goof, which is why I'm still alive, because the separation of those two things is what's called death. So it's from there we see that it must be that my life is choshuv. Otherwise, why is Hashem meshamra b'kibi? Why is he making sure that I stay alive? And because when I'm alive, my life is more and more choshuv. Even if it means bitl the kanzavel, the whole world is mevatel as long as I stay alive for another few minutes. Okay, he brings another ma'asiyah, my favorite shtickle piece of bir alocha. A moedik shtickle bir alocha. We'll learn it tomorrow. If you want to go look, it's in Simon. Shin Chavtes in the Mishnah Brura in Divrei Maskel Ella, the Bir Alocha there. Unbelievable enlightening, opens their eyes there to what the value of a yid is with no mitzvahs bichlal. Discusses there why Pukuch Nefesh is Doche Shabbos, why do we machal Shabbos to save a life? And very interesting, he's Cholek Pashtus, he's Cholek on the Gemara even. But we'll see what he says there. Fascinating. Shtikol bir alocha. Fine. So Metz Hashem tomorrow still on Zoom. I'm hoping, but tomorrow night we'll have some clarity about when. For those who want, the base midrash will be available again, and obviously we'll be carrying on Zoom. For those who can't come in, Baruch, you've heard anything about Revolitsky, when he's starting, what he's doing? Anybody know what's happening?
He's starting right now.
You're starting today? Oh, Baruch Hashem. Okay, very good. A good man. Should do a brach and atzlochas. I'm going to stop now because I don't want Revolitsky shouting at me. And we said, okay, so we'll keep you informed of what's happening in terms of the changes in the schedule. In the meantime, the email that went out yesterday, I hope you all got it, should give you some idea of what's going on. If you need to know about what's going on in Gemara, be in touch with your Gemara rabbis. Beseder gomor. Have a good day. Good chodesh. And Mr. Shimon will be tomorrow.
Thank you, Rabbi.